Jen. Looking forward to what they got going on today. So let's thank her too. She does an awesome job. And her team do a great job.
Woohoo!
Awesome. Well, so good to have you guys here. If you have your bulletins, I want to encourage you to take out your note-taking guide. And we're going to be... Oh, thank you. We're going to be going through a lot of different things today. We're going to be writing some things in the note-taking part, and then we're going to be jotting some things down in the margin. So, very important. Today is our Vision Sunday, and what we're going to do is we're going to be casting a vision for what God, I think, has laid on my heart and as a church for what we can do this year to better reach our community, to better be intentional about what we do with God's Word, and to have a plan of what to do when God brings new people to us. And so that's what I want to share a little bit today. And then after the service, again, we'll take a 5-minute break, and then we'll all come back here. And I kind of have a layout, some things I want to share with you guys as far as, again, where we've been, where we are, where God's taking us, and then how we're going to get there. So if you have a few minutes after service, please, please do your best. We're going to meet right back in here about 5 minutes after the service. So it's going to be a good Sunday. Looking forward to it. Let's pray, and then we'll jump into God's Word. Lord, I pray right now that you will speak through me. I pray, Lord, that as we open up your Word, we will sense where you're leading us as a church, that you will give us a sense of purpose and a belonging, that we will all come here to serve you, God. This church is not about getting what we want, but it's about increasing your kingdom and sharing the hope to those that need it most. And so I pray, Lord, that you will drive that into us, that we will have a goal and a mission and a purpose and a direction to serve your kingdom and to glorify your name this year. So after this service, Lord, I pray that we will leave here encouraged and inspired and maybe convicted to do your will. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, it's good to have you guys, and again, if you have your note-taking guide, go ahead and pull that out. And I want to share, this is a lemon tree, and I bought this lemon tree for my wife last year for our anniversary. And my wife loves to make things with lemons, you know, using the juice and everything, so I thought, how cool would it be if I bought her a lemon tree? You know, she can plant it, and then, you know, year after year, we'll get these lemons, and it'll always be a reminder of our love and a commitment and devotion to each other, and it'll always be right there. And so this lemon tree, it was doing really, really well a few weeks ago. You know, it was, I was taking care of it. You know, when it would be cold, I would bring it inside, and then when it would warm up, I would put him outside, make sure he got plenty of sun. I was always making sure that the soil was just right, you know, putting the right things in there, a little bit of this, a little bit of that, always making sure that this plant had the best. And then what happened was it started to bud. It started to bloom. It started to blossom. Just a few weeks ago, this thing was covered with leaves and these beautiful fragrant flowers. And I thought, yes, I did it. You know, look at this thing. I took care of this and now it's blooming. Now it's blossoming. This is awesome. I did it. You know, I got a green thumb. Way to go, me. And then, as you know, this past week was ridiculous as far as the weather goes. And so what happened was Wednesday was awesome. It was like 75 degrees out. And so I thought, yes, this bad boy is going outside. So I put him out there in the sunshine and I put him out there to get, you know, all this beautiful sun and the warm weather. And it was doing awesome. I thought, yes, I've done it. I am done with this thing. It is on its way to bear fruit for my wife so she can make her lemon stuff. Put it in her water in the summertime. I had great dreams for this guy. And then, as you well know, Thursday happened. And I forgot about him. And I left him outside and it started raining. And then the rain started to freeze. And then this thing, I went out there when I realized Thursday night that, oh no, the lemon tree is still outside. And so I went to go get him and literally... There were more leaves, but when I brought them to church, the rest of them fell off. And so now there's only two of them, and you can tell they're not doing very well. And there are a few buds that were doing well on Wednesday, but after the rain, literally, they were just it was just like a ball of frozen water all around it. And then this is what I'm left with. So I was doing really well with this thing. You know, I had great plans for it. It was blooming. It was blossoming. It was awesome. But then Thursday happened, and now this is what it looks like. So in reality, it doesn't really matter what it looked like a few days ago. What matters is this is what I have now, and this is what I'm dealing with. So I can praise and talk about all day long how good it was, but that's not going to make it bloom again. What matters is this is what I have now. And because I didn't take care of it and continue to take care of it, this is what we're left with. And so that's what I want to talk about today, is the idea that it's not about how we start, it's how we finish. And just because it looked good a few days ago, that doesn't really matter. What matters is how it looks now. And it's not about how we start, it's all about how we finish. And so there are two mindsets that we're going to fight against as a church always, doesn't matter who we are. And the first mindset is this, is that we're done. You know, we're done. You know, we've done it, it's blooming, it's great. We had a visitor come in, we gave them a bulletin, we shook their hand, we told them we're the friendliest church in Birmingham, and then, yes, we did it, we're done. Woohoo! Yes! Then that's it. We're done! You know, because we love the beginning stages. We love the newness. We love to start things. We love to begin things because it's easy. You know, it doesn't really require a lot of us. It doesn't really require a lot of them. We love the beginning stages. Even Scripture tells us that God loves the beginning stages. He says, for He loves to see the work begin. And that's a great thing. But we cannot have this mentality of, we're done. Because it'll end up looking something like this if we think we're done. We have to continue always to engage a mind process like this one. It's the next thought in your notes. There's two ways of thinking. One way of thinking is we're done. You know, we welcomed them. We smiled with the visitor. We welcomed them to church. We invited them to church. We're done. You know, we did our part. It was awesome. We had an event. We had a VBS. We had this and that. We're done. Woohoo! But what we see is we are quick to rejoice at the first signs of blossoming. And we make the sprouting of the seed the thing that we celebrate. And we make the beginning stages the thing that we celebrate. And just because we start, that doesn't mean we can stop. There's a lot more race to run. Starting is good. But what happens if we stop is this. We can start, but then we have to ask, okay, what's next? If this year we can cultivate a mentality of always thinking, what's next? What's next? What's next? Never, we're done. I gave them a bulletin. Yes, they're here forever. Or yes, we did a VBS. Done. Whew. No, we need to cultivate every one of us and as a church together, always be thinking, what's next? What's next? What I needed to be thinking was, what's next? Oh, tomorrow it's going to be rainy and sleety. Okay, I better bring them inside. Always be thinking, what's next? What's next? Now that I got the plant blooming and blossoming, now I need to cultivate, now I need to nurture, now I need to invest. If we have a visitor come in here or a new family, okay, what next? I need to cultivate, I need to build a relationship, I need to nurture it, I need to take care of it. If we can adapt that mentality, I think God will honor that. If we begin to think, okay, what next? What's next? Someone may start out well, but that doesn't mean it will always end well. We can never be guilty of saying, we're done. We're done. We did it. Check it off the list and move on. We always have to be thinking, okay, what's next? What can I do next? Just because we start well doesn't mean we're going to finish well. I remember a few Augusts ago, I ran this 5K race in the middle of August here in Birmingham, and it was a really, really hot one, as you may guess. And I didn't know this at the time, but when I got to the race, it was a junior high and high school like meet. Like they were using this race as one of their seasonal races. And so I thought, oh man, this is going to be fun, running against a bunch of junior hires and high school students. And so I kind of looked around and who was running, and I found this guy who looked like he was really like their coach, like he was their mentor and their motivator, and he was going to lead the pack. So I thought, oh man, I'm going to stay with him. And it was a 5K race, 3.2 miles. And I remember at the start of the race, he just booked it right out of the gate. I mean, he just took off. And so I thought, well, I'm going to stay with him. And so he booked it, and then I booked it. I mean, I was basically a dead sprint right out of the gate for 3.2 miles. Now, I quickly realized that I could not sustain that type of speed. And so what happened was, a mile into it, I was just huffing and puffing and slowing down. And I remember it got so bad that in a 3-mile race, I had to stop running because I was cramping up so bad. I was out of breath. And I remember very vividly, these two twin junior high girls just went zip and just passed me. It was very humiliating. Literally, these tiny two twin junior high girls just you know, breathing normally, got a nice pace going. They just whipped right by me. And I remember thinking, what were you thinking? Why did you start out so fast at a pace that you can't sustain for 3.2 miles? We don't do that. Just because we start out well, that does not indicate that we will end well. I mean, I started out awesome, but clearly I ended very poorly. So we cannot base the beginning stages of something of how it will end up. Because clearly this thing started out really well. But because I didn't say, okay, now what can I do next to take care of it? What can I do next to nurture it? It ended up like this. Two thoughts that we're fighting against as a church. We're done. Check it off the list. I gave them a bulletin. I smiled. I said, welcome to Brookview. Told them we're the friendliest church in Birmingham. We did it. We're done. Move on. No. We have to always be asking, okay, what's next? What's next? And that's what we'll talk about through this sermon and through the vision chat after the service, of ideas of what's next. I want to read a parable that really hits home this point. You've heard of it. It's the parable in Mark 4, 3 through 8. If you have your note taking guide, I really want to encourage you to follow along. This is the parable of the sower. And it says this. This is Jesus talking. Listen, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell among the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants, so that they did not bear grain. Still other seed fell on the ground, on the good soil. It came up, grew, and produced a crop, some multiplying 30, some 60, some 100 times. And so you see here the principle that I'm talking about. There was some seed that was scattered among different types of soil. Some was just picked up by the birds, didn't even have time to root. Some, though, however, rooted quickly, and the word there is it sprang up. I mean, this thing was going, it was moving, it was trucking, it was looking good at the beginning. But then what happened? Because its roots in the soil were shallow, the troubles of the world choked it out, and it quickly withered and died. Just because it started out so well does not mean it was going to end well. And we see other soil, it started out so well too, but it got choked out by the weeds and was overwhelmed by the world, and it faded away too. It started out well, but it did not end well. So as a church, we must be careful to see things to start them. We must start things, but then we must always ask the question, okay, what's next? How can I help this individual or this family or this situation dig deeper roots? Because the truth is, when we have a we're done mentality, this mentality leads people to getting connected in a shallow relationship. You know, when we have a we're done mentality, we come in and we do the bare minimum. We say what they want to hear us say, and it leads to people getting shallow roots. So that when they need someone or a church to go to, when the world knocks them down or they're being overwhelmed by the weeds of the world, because they don't have a deep relationship here and their roots are shallow, they fade away. Oh man, they started out well, but they quickly faded away because their root system was shallow. May we be quickly to think it's not how we start, it's how we finish. And may we never be guilty of saying, okay, we're done. You know, we planted the seed, now we're done. We can never be content with just scattering the seed. We always, as a church, have to say, okay, what's next? What's next? Never, we're done. We're done. Because even then, the seed may be planted, but then they grow up quickly, it's looking good. But we must make sure that their roots grow deep. And that is based out of relationships. That is based on vulnerable conversations where you invest in the other person, where you nurture the relationship, where you cultivate the relationship. That leads to deep roots. so that when the world knocks them down, you can journey with them through that. And it keeps them going. Let's ask the question, what's next? Another beautiful passage in the Gospels, the book of Luke, chapter 14, 28 through 30. It says this, "For which one of you, when he wants to build a tower, does not first sit down and calculate the cost to see if he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who observe it begin to ridicule him, saying, 'This man began to build and was not able to finish.'" So it's not good enough for us just to build a foundation. We can't simply celebrate and be content with just scattering the seed and laying the foundation. That's a good start. But this scripture says clearly, you don't start out building something and then realize you don't have a plan in place or a process in place to then see it to completion. We may have a visitor come and we lay the foundation and we welcome them and we give them a bulletin, and we give them a smile, but then it stops there. And again, we cannot simply celebrate the fact that we've laid a foundation and start cheering and the visitors over here saying, what's next? What do I do? We must have a plan in place and always be asking, okay, what's next? Because you see here, this says, you must, if the person builds a tower, does he not first sit down and calculate the cost to see if he has enough to complete it? We have to have a plan in place that sees them to completion. We cannot simply celebrate the beginning stages and stop there and say, we're done. Always be asking, what's next? We're quick to rejoice at the first signs of spiritual growth and make the sprouting of the seed what we focus and celebrate on. But there's so much more race to be run, and we have to say, okay, what's next? God says if we're faithful with little things, He can trust us with a lot. So if we don't have a plan in place with people that God wants to bring into our church, then they probably won't come. I mean, what if right now 30 or 40, 50 visitors came in? We must know what to do. But if we don't have a plan in place, then God may not be able to send them our way because we don't have a plan in place. Because we're not thinking yet, okay, what's next? What's next? To see them to completion. We must have a plan in place. We must begin to think, how can I finish this task? What's next? What's next? And so things that I've been thinking in a way that we can start and end is this. What we do as a church is get them to return. Get them in relationships and then give them responsibility. Get them to return. Get them in relationships, and then give them a responsibility. That is a way we see them turning from a blossom to producing fruit. And what we do is anytime we have a visitor here, please keep me accountable to this. If we have a visitor here, mine and Ashley's job is to say to them, Ashley and I would like to take you out to lunch next Sunday. When you are back next Sunday, we'd love to take you out to lunch. That gets them to return, and that begins a relationship. And what happens then is we begin the relationship, and it's in relationships that roots grow deep. We always have to be saying, okay, what's next? They're here, now what's next? Get them back here next Sunday. Okay, what's next after that? Now Ashley and I have taken someone out, and we've loved on them, and we've ministered to them. Now it's your job to take them out and love them and minister to them. We must always be asking, what's next? To see them, to return, build a relationship, and then give them a responsibility in the church. That's what we must begin doing to share the love of Christ with those who need it. So, those two verses in the parable really hit it home. It's not how we start, it's all about how we finish. We must begin to adopt the mentality of what's next. What's next? So if we can keep those three words, return, relationships, responsibility. How can I get them to return? How can I build a relationship? And then give them a responsibility in the church. That's what we must begin doing from this point on. So I want to talk real quick about three ways to keep growing. Three ways to continue to grow as a church this year. Number one, it's focus on the finish line. Focus on the finish line. Because we here at Brookview, we're running a race. Paul is always using that analogy of running a race. And so with that analogy, we must focus on the finish line. Because we're not here, we don't gather on Sundays and Wednesdays just to run aimlessly until we get tired. No, we have a purpose and a finish line here at Brookview. That is why we meet. That is why we do what we do, to reach the finish line. And so we must focus on that finish line. And so a purpose for us to grab hold of this year is this. Brookview exists to bring hope to the hurting through the holiness of Jesus Christ in order to make disciples. Brookview exists to bring hope to the hurting through the holiness of Jesus Christ in order to make disciples. Now, if you want to write that down, I wouldn't be upset. Because we need to focus on the holiness of Jesus Christ. We as a Wesleyan church obviously hold very fast to the holiness aspect. But me as a person, I love the fact that we preach the holiness gospel. Because so many times we'll find churches or individuals focusing simply on trying not to mess up. Trying to get to heaven, trying and just going back and managing sin for the rest of their life. And what we find is, no, God invites us not to just not sin, but He invites us to a holy living, to be more like Him, to get to a point in our life where we are holy like He is holy by accepting His forgiveness. That's the gospel. That's the good news. And I want to share that with people. I don't want someone to come in here and me simply share with them, well, okay, from now on, it's just going to be a battle of you trying not to sin. No. We offer hope to the hurting through the holiness of Jesus Christ in order to make disciples. That's our finish line. We're not running out here just because we want to meet together. We don't meet together just because we want to socialize. We have a finish line. And we must focus on that finish line to bring hope to hurting people through the holiness of Jesus Christ in order to make disciples. That's our finish line. Run to win. We must run to win as Brookview. Intentional about why we're meeting to offer hope to the hurting. I love it in 1 Corinthians 9:24. In your notes it says this, "Do you not know that in a race all runners run, but only one gets the prize? So you, Brookview, me, Thomas, let's run in a way to get the prize." Let's run in a way to get the prize. Let's focus on that finish line. Focus on the finish line. Because starting is good, but the finish line is what matters. Because a good spiritual start does not mean a good spiritual finish. It doesn't matter how you start. I mean, look how I started in that 5K race. That was no indication of how I would finish. So let's focus on the finish line. Focus on the finish line and ask the question, okay, what's next? What's next? That's number one. That's a way we can keep growing, is to focus on the finish line. Number two, this was a good one. Take steps of faith. When it's easier to stay put in what we know and what is comfortable, in order to get to that finish line, you have to take steps of faith. I remember running long races. You get to a point where you don't want to take one more step, where it's painful to take one more step. But you realize if you don't take one more step, you won't get closer to the finish line. And when all you want to do is stop and put your hands on your knees and sit down, you have to keep taking steps forward. So that's number two. A way we can keep growing is taking steps of faith. Last week we talked about ways that we can honor God with our faith. We're either amazing Him by our lack of faith, or we're amazing Him with our great faith. So may we take steps of faith to reach the finish line. That's number two. When it's easier to stay put, let's take steps of faith. The reason we say this is Philippians 1:6. Read that with me there. "Being confident of this, that He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus." May this verse encourage us to treat others how God treats us. He is always taking steps of faith on us. He's always seeing us to completion. He's never giving up on us. And so may we do for others what has been done for us through Christ Jesus. Sometimes it's easier to minister and to love and to cultivate a relationship with people that are like us, or it's easy. But in regards to reaching the finish line, may we take steps of faith by loving those who are hard to love, by cultivating a relationship with people that are completely different than us. That's a step of faith that we can take to reach the finish line. I love what A.W. Tozer says He says this, he's an author, in regards to Hosea 10:12, which says this, "Break up your fallow ground, for it's time to seek the Lord, till he come and rain righteousness upon you." And so in regards to taking faith, it's a lot easier to stay put. But if we want to reach the finish line, we have to take those steps. If we want to bring hope to the hurting, we have to take steps of faith and step out of what we know and what is comfortable and reach out, because that's what God did for us. I was been meeting with Ryan and Carly to get ready for their wedding, and one thing I'm always trying to convey to them is that you don't do for your future spouse just so that they'll do it in return. You do for your spouse what has been done for you. Treat your spouse like Christ treats you. And that is how we need to treat people that are not like us, but that are hopeless and are different. We need to begin to say, I'm going to treat you like Christ treats me. And the way he's treating me is he's seeing me to completion. And I'm going to start loving on you and investing in you. And may I never be tempted to say, all right, I'm done. You know, I invited you to church. I brought you here. Now I'm done. Always begin to say, what's next? What's next? A.W. Tozer says this, "The fallow field is smug, the uncultivated field, the untouched field. The fallow field is smug, contented, protected from the shock of the plow and the agitation of the harrow. Such a field as it lays year after year becomes a familiar landmark to the crow and the blue jay. Had it intelligence, it might take a lot of satisfaction in its reputation. It has stability. Nature has adopted it. It can be counted upon to remain always the same while the fields around it change from brown to green to black to brown again. Safe and undisturbed, it sprawls lazily in the sunshine, the picture of sleepy contentment." And that sounds good. Sprawling out in the sunshine, sleepy contentment. Yeah, sign me up for that. But here's what's next. "But it is paying a terrible price for its tranquility. Never does it see the miracle of growth. Never does it feel the motions of mounting life, nor see the wonders of bursting seed, nor the beauty of ripening grain. Fruit it can never know because it is afraid of the plow and the harrow." I think sometimes it's easier to be an uncultivated field. It's harder to take those steps of faith when we'd rather just, like the field, sprawl lazily in the sunshine, the picture of sleepy contentment. But we miss out on so much. Yeah, ministry is messy. Yeah, cultivating a relationship with someone different than you is messy and it's hard and it's uncomfortable. But that's where we see love. That's where we see deep roots begin to grow. That's why we're the church, to bring hope to the hurting through the holiness of Jesus Christ in order to make disciples. May we take those steps of faith to then reach the finish line. That is why we do what we do. Number three, the first one is focus on the finish line. Number two is take steps of faith. Number three is look for fruit. Look for fruit. Fruit is proof, hopefully one day, that this lemon tree is a lemon tree. I can tell you all day, maybe you know a little bit about trees, but until you see a lemon, you won't necessarily know that it's a lemon tree. Fruit is proof that it is what it says it is. And so for us, when we begin to cultivate relationships and nurture relationships, may we look for the fruit. It's not about what we say, it's about what we do. Fruit is the proof that we are taking steps towards that finish line. They will know us by our love. The fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, long-suffering. Those are the things we must look for. And so until we see fruit, we cannot stop. We must continue to grow and cultivate. And when God sends us people that need hope, may we continue to build and invest in that relationship until we see fruit, until we see their roots grow deep, and they themselves are then practicing love, patience, kindness, goodness. Until we see fruit, may we not stop. We have to continue to cultivate. I love this verse in Matthew 21:28-30. But what do you think? A man had two sons, and he came to the first son and said, "Go, son, work today in the vineyard." And he answered, "I will not." But afterward he regretted it, and he went. The man came to the second and said the same thing, and he answered, I will, sir, but he did not go. So really, Jesus is making a point here. It doesn't matter what you say, what kind of lip service you do. You know, you can say what you want the visitor to hear you say, and you can say what the visitor wants you to say. But at the end of the day, it doesn't really matter. What matters is the fruit that is produced. We can say we're going to do it, but if we don't, then it doesn't really matter. What are our actions saying? Are we seeing fruit? The fruit is the fact that one person comes in here, and they may start out really well. But we must continue to invest and to love and to say, what's next, until the day that we see fruit. Look for fruit. And the beautiful thing about fruit is, you have one fruit, may have 10 seeds in it, and then that one fruit multiplies, and then those things multiply, and those things multiply. And that's the idea of discipleship. Reaching out until they become a disciple, and then they make disciples. But until we see fruit, may we never say we're done. Let's continue to say what's next, until we see fruit. So from this moment on, let's continue to focus on the finish line, our mission statement, and grab hold of that. Filter everything we do through that. Brookview exists to bring hope to the hurting through the holiness of Jesus Christ in order to make disciples. That's what we need to do. Keep running the race. We're not running aimlessly here. We have a purpose. And number two, take steps of faith. When it's easier to stay in your comfort zone, take the step of faith. And always think, how did Christ treat me? May I treat them like he treats me. And number three, look for the fruit. Let's continue to grow, cultivate. And when we have people come in here, may we never be guilty of saying, you know, I did my part, now I'm done. Because we don't want someone to end up like this with shallow roots, that when the world comes and knocks them down, they fade away, when we had an opportunity to love on them and help their roots grow deeper. But God will only send us people if we have a plan in place. And the plan in place is to get them to return, build a relationship, and then give them a responsibility. That is what we're doing here. And so if we can do that as a whole, corporately, if we can do that as individuals, I believe God will honor that. Because the reason I say all this is simply for the fact that so people can experience Jesus Christ. That's why we do what we do. It's not to have some formula or something that'll increase our numbers. It's so that we can expose the most people to Jesus Christ. That's why we do what we do. So let's take these things and implement them over the next few months and watch God honor us as we honor Him. Let's pray.